One of the enduring images of the 1960s is a Syracuse University student running in the early miles of the Boston Marathon. The race director came onto the course and was chasing down and trying to forcibly remove Catherine Switzer from that race. He did not succeed, and Switzer, a little more than 4 hours later, made history when she became the first woman to officially enter and run in the Boston Marathon. And today, Catherine Switzer is an author, television commentator, and member of the National Women's Hall of Fame. And yes, she is still a runner. She is also the keynote speaker at the annual gala for Baden Street Settlement here in Rochester on October 20th. Welcome. Thanks so much for being here.
Oh, it's so great being with you. Honestly, I just, have such wonderful feelings for upstate New York, and it's great to talk to you.
Well, tell me about that day in 1967. Did you start that race and enter that race thinking that you would become this symbol of social revolution?
Absolutely not. I was a 20-year-old girl who wanted to run her first marathon. And, you know, I had argued with my coach, who didn't believe a woman could actually do the distance, despite the fact that other women in history had, not officially. And even at Boston, a woman had jumped out of the bushes and run, and he didn't believe it. So I had to prove to him in practice. And when I did, he was like an evangelist. He was so excited, and he insisted that I officially sign up and run. That's the thing that made all the difference. I was just following the rules. The rules didn't have anything about gender or forbidding women to run, but you had to, you know, pay your $2 entry fee. You had to sign the application. You had to get a permit. You had to do all these things. And we followed the rules scrupulously. Ironically, you know, it resulted in a total backfire.
Once the race director, Jock Semple, went onto the course and was grabbing at your bib and trying to pull you off the course, and your boyfriend, I should say, you know, got him out of the way. For people who don't know this story, he kind of blocked his path and you kept running. Did you say to yourself at this point, all right, I've got to finish this race now because everyone in the world knows that I'm a woman running this marathon?
Beth, you know, everything changed in an instant. I mean, up to that point, all the guys were cheering for me and really happy to have me in the race and very supportive, and they stayed so. But when that official attacked me, I went from a 20-year-old girl to a grown woman. I had to make that decision to finish the race, and I did it instantly, which was wonderful. I got angry. I just said, hey, look, I've trained hard for this, and if I don't finish the race, nobody's going to believe women can do it. They're going to think we're all barging into places where we're not welcome and can't do it anyway. I have to show that women can do this. So, you know, it took me 4 hours and 20 minutes. It was a long time in those days because that was considered a jogging time. I was still teased about it. But anyway, I went ahead and finished the race. And really, it was the whole race was a eureka moment again and again of me forgiving the official because I thought he was just a product of his time, but realizing that other women would not only run, but would do other things in their lives that they were always discouraged from doing or believed they couldn't do if only they had the opportunity. I truly believe that talent and capability is everywhere. It just needs an opportunity. And I was determined by the time I finished that race to create that opportunity. And now you talk about that bib number, 261. Well, who would ever believe that 261 now, they retired the bib this year, and it's become a nonprofit movement and foundation where we take running, the simple act of putting one foot in front of the other, around the world to women and empower them in the same way that millions of women have become empowered in the United States through this amazing, amazing act.
I think about young women and girls who maybe don't know your story, who are hearing it for the first time this morning, and sitting there thinking, are you kidding me? Women were not allowed to run in a marathon. What do you think will happen in the next 50 years? What ceilings do we have to break that you're interested in?
You know, Beth, I love it when a woman comes to hear me speak and she brings her daughter. And her daughter looks at the picture and she says, Mommy, why is that man trying to pull her out of the race? And the mother says, because she's a woman. And the girl says, why? And I said, that's what it's all about. She doesn't understand, and I love it. I mean, I really love the fact that it's so mainstream and women can do anything now in this country, at least. You know, what's in store for the next 50 years? This year, I ran the Boston Marathon again in honor of, first of all, good health, and I was full of gratitude, but also to celebrate the achievements we have made in 50 years. I was therefore the first woman who's ever run a marathon 50 years after she first did, which is not testimony to my greatness. It's just testimony to the fact that there were so few women runners. But when I crossed the finish line, I said, this is a passing of the torch. This is looking back at the 50 years of accomplishments we have made in the United States, Canada, Germany, in Japan, incredible countries now where women outnumber men actually in running, not because they want to get good or lose 5 pounds, but because it empowers them. But now look at the fact that there are most women in the world have no opportunities whatsoever. Still, most of the women in the world live in a fearful situation. And 261 Fearless, my foundation, is trying to address that with a simple, easy, accessible means of putting one foot in front of the other by a series of global clubs. And we're encouraging everybody listening to think about starting a simple, non-competitive, non-judgmental club in your own community, a 261 Fearless club. We have more information on 261fearless.org, and we'll show you how to do it.
Catherine Switzer will be here, as she said, October 20th, speaking at the annual gala for the Baden Street Settlement in Rochester, and we're going to put all of that on our website. Catherine, it's been a pleasure talking to you. I can't wait to see what you do next.
Thank you, Beth, and thank you so much for having me. Take care.